It is so good to be in his house today. As we start this second part of our study, our journey. And let me say this to you. A lot of times when we go through a series like this, people will, like last week, and they'll say, well, you know, I don't think I act like Lot, and I don't think I'm not really built off of that or seeing things. I want you to realize that as we're going through this series, that every one of these characteristics, the Old Testament is a picture of a New Testament. Every part that we learn, every part that we go through is built because it's just symbolic. And when you go through the story of Abraham, what you're doing is you're looking inside the characteristics of a person. Inside of us, there's faith, like Abraham. Inside of us, there's times when we struggle with our eyes and what we see and how we can't see how God's going to fix it. There's times we're going to deal with different issues inside of ourselves. So when we're talking about being all in, a lot of times it's not so much that I'm trying to find this one spot or this other spot. It's that all of this is inside of us wrestling all the time. When something comes against me, I have to decide real quickly or as I press through whether I'm going to go by what I can see, what I can feel, what I think. All of this is happening all inside of one person, inside of me. And what I have to do is I have to first say, am I making my decision based off what I can see right now instead of what God has said? There's a lot of times in my life I do. I'd like to say I've been perfect all my life, but I haven't. But there's a lot of times where I saw it, I thought, man, this has got to be. I mean, you can see, it's too easy to see. And it wasn't by faith. It wasn't something God intended. And it set me back. We know Abraham is our illustration, quote, of perfection. But even when we go through that, we'll find that he wasn't perfect. Today, we're going to pick up a different character, a different part of what's inside of us. Last week, we dealt with, can I be all in even when I can't see God doing? Can I go all in even when I can't see God's hand? That song, I Surrender All, is not built off of the fact of everything is perfect. It's just a decision. What I can see right now, I'm still all in. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, and we're going to deal with the second person at our table. This person gets it right, but they're still struggling. They've been struggling pretty much most of their life. We're going to deal with a character by the name of Sarah. He's Abraham's wife. And Sarah has her own issues that she brings to the table. She's all in, but there's still something bothering her. Just like Lot, he packed up his stuff. He went with Abraham, but he drug something along. Sarah's the same way. Sarah's in the journey, but she's dragging some stuff along. As you turn with me in your Bibles, let's go to the 18th chapter of Genesis, verses 9 through 15. Verses 9 through 15. Genesis 18, verses 9 through 15. What has taken place, and before we begin to read, let me just kind of set you up. Three men have showed up out of nowhere. And I'll catch you up to the total part of the story in just a few minutes. But three men have showed up just walking along in this desert area, and Abraham recognizes them as men of God. Recognizes them as a reincarnation of God, a representation of angels, whatever they are God incarnate. And so Abraham fixes them something to eat. He quickly tells them, come sit with me here. Let me fix you something to eat. Let me get all this. And after they've eaten, after they've sat for a while, they begin to speak. And here's what they say. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I have waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I surely bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. You laughed. Now, to be honest with you, did Sarah laugh? See, here's our problem. Did Sarah laugh? Should be a pretty simple question. Did Sarah laugh? She did. Did you hear it? The Bible says that while she stood by the tent door, she laughed out loud. If a tree falls in the woods, does it actually make noise? Does it make noise? Well, y'all are quiet this morning. Yes or no? Did it make noise? How do you know? One of the first starting points of our journey with God and going all in. With Lot, it's pretty simple. With Lot, it's a lot simpler. Because if he could see it, he's in. If he couldn't see it, he wasn't in. With Sarah, we start to get into a little more murkier water. Because she can say, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Did you hear me laugh? No. Well, then I didn't laugh. There's a part of her that can say, I'm telling you the truth. But there's a part of her that says, I'm also lying. The flaw in Sarah is the fact of trust. Look at the person beside you and say, do you struggle with trust? Do you struggle with trust? Now, automatically we're like Sarah. No. But inside, maybe not verbally, outwardly, where everybody can hear it, we struggle. In fact, if you're human, you're going to struggle with it. It's hard to trust. I've been married to the same lady for 20-something years. And I'm still constantly wrestling with trust. And you would think at some time after 20-something years, you would never have to. But I married a very beautiful woman, and there's times when she's going to the grocery store, and I'm like, I wonder if she's going to the grocery store. I know none of y'all struggle with trust. Y'all got it down pat now. You never have a thought or a worry or stress at jobs, or, you know, nobody works out to get you. Nothing ever is against you. Nothing. Everything is just, you can trust everything. No, in life, it's one of the things we have to constantly wrestle with. Because trust is just simply faith. Trust is just simply faith with actions. To trust something means I believe it, and therefore I'm going to invest in it. Now, even though there's times I struggle, a thought may cross my mind. Using the same scenario with Elise. Does that mean I was like, Well, I'm taking away her car, and I'm taking away all her stuff, and I'm going to start keeping up with her odometer, and I'm going to make sure she's know where she's going, and I'm going to keep track of her every step of where she goes. No. Why? Because trust has to be a what? An action word. It has to be faith in action. So if I say I trust someone, I have to trust someone. If I say I believe someone, then I have to believe someone. A lot of this happens in our modern day. Young ladies, let me say this to you very carefully. In our modern day, because of the lack of trust that people have in their life, especially young men, the insecurities, they don't put earrings in their head because they're secure. They don't put tattoos on their bodies because they're secure. They don't shave their head some weird way because they're secure. Well, I'm just trying to... No, you're just insecure. God didn't make you good enough and you're trying to add to or change or fix. It's always an insecurity that creates it. I want to fit in more than I fit in now. Here's the only problem, young ladies. When you start dating this guy, it's going to feel like he loves you to death. Because he wants to be with you what? All the time. He's calling you all the time. He doesn't like you talking to other guys. He wants you just, hey, you stay by me. And you're like, oh, he loves me so much. I mean, he'd he'd eat me up if he could. No, here's the problem. He can't trust. That's fun for about the first month or two, the first year or two. But then all of a sudden, his distrust becomes even more. Now he starts questioning you everywhere you go. And he don't trust you even when you tell him the truth. Look, I just went to the grocery store. I don't believe. And he walks out to the car and checks the odometer. It's only 43 miles to the grocery store. You got 63 miles on yours. Where else did you go? What's happening? The insecurities inside of me are creating, and it becomes abusive. It becomes all of these different things. Look, you can train someone not to slap a woman. You can train someone not to do this, but you can't train someone instantaneously to trust. And that's the problem. When these guys stand up and say, I'll never do it again. It's not a matter of physical. It's not a matter. It's the matter of what's going on the inside. It's because you can't trust. And that person can never do enough to make you trust them. Sarah, let's walk through a little bit and see her life. Sarah marries her brother, Abram. That's already kind of a weird thing. It's kind of like a half-truth. The fact is, they both have the same dad. They have separate moms. Abraham and Sarah have the same father. Just different moms. And so he marries his stepsister. His half-sister. That's kind of a weird way to start your relationship. Not a lot of trust, not a lot of, just kind of weird. Well, then about several years later, she's about 60 years old, 60 to 65 years old. And Abram comes to her one day and says, look, God spoke to me and says there's a land over here he's going to give me and it's time to go. So at 65 years old, I don't know how many of you older ladies want to go on the mission field at 65. But at 65 years old, no children, nothing to call her own, she packs up everything she has and trusts this half-brother, who's her husband, to go to this land that some God is baking for him. It wouldn't seem so bad if they hadn't got started and within a short distance they end up with a little bit of famine and they have to go to Egypt. And before they walk into Egypt, here's this man who's trusting God, who's depending on God, who's all in, and he looks at Sarah and he says, look, I know we're married and all that, but Pharaoh is going to notice that you're a beautiful woman. Now, Sarah must have been packed. I mean, at 65, Abraham was still worried about her. That's all I can tell you. And she must have been a pretty great woman because she lived to be 127. So at 65, she was still a knockout. At 65, Abraham looks at her and says, look, we're fixing to go into this land. And Pharaoh is going to notice you. And when he notices you, look, tell him you're my sister. Or otherwise, he'll probably want to kill me for you. Now, here's the guy that just told her, look, let's pack up everything because God's got this place for us. And within a short period of time, he looks at her and says, oh, by the way, we might not get there. You know, I might get killed. What do you mean you might get killed? Yeah, we need to tell Pharaoh that you're my sister. Is that okay? And a long ordeal takes place. Pharaoh takes her and puts them into the house with a harem, with all his other wives. And she's sitting there thinking, my husband is sitting out there. And right now, I'm in this other man's house. And if it hadn't been an act of God bringing a plague on Pharaoh, she'd still been stuck in there. Abraham would have just kept cruising along. So later, when you hear the story of Sarah saying, I did not laugh, was she lying? Or was she just telling a half-truth? She'd learned it from Abram. Because, really, I didn't laugh out loud. I only laughed on the inside. And really, we are brothers and sisters, even though we are. See, trust can work that way. What we do is, in trust, we don't want to just come straight out and say, I don't trust you. What we do is we say, I don't trust you when you're in this condition. Or I don't trust you when I'm put in this position. I don't trust you unless I can control everything. I don't trust you unless... See, we don't really mean we don't trust. We just need to set the table so that our trust has some security. Us guys get nailed with this all the time now. Hon, I trust you, but now just don't do that. You ladies are great at it now. Be careful. Because you're thinking about the home. And you're thinking about protecting that. And yet at the same time, it's trust. My mom and dad, I used to drive me crazy. My mom struggled with some insecurities. And my dad would come home from work. Man, she would ask him every question in the world. Who'd you see today? What did it have on? My dad's like, I don't know. I was working. I was putting out eggs. I don't know. She would just nag, 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 nag. Later, dad would go to the bedroom, half crying, like, I can't believe that woman. I can't make her happy. And I asked my mom, I said, Mom, Dad's been married to you. Dad would not cheat on you. Dad wouldn't do. She said, oh, I know that. I'm thinking, what do you mean you know that? And ladies, think seriously. I know he loves me. I know he wouldn't. I know. But I just need to make sure. Us guys do it too. I just nailed the guys on abuse and all that. We can get really serious about it. But what we're doing is we're learning like Abraham and Sarah was learning how to tell just enough, but not get yourself too committed. That's why people need to date for a while before they get married. Because when you're dating somebody, they're not going to share with you all the details. You're going to get the very best of them. They're going to act like this is the way I act all the time. This is the way I do. I mean, I in reality, when the first session usually I have with premarital counseling, that's what I look at someone and tell them. I look at the lady and I say, if she only acted about two-thirds as good as she does right now, or half as good, would you still love her? If she just was half as good, and then I look at her and I say, now if he brushed his teeth just half as much as he does now, and he changed clothes and didn't stink but half as much as he does now, would you still be excited about it? No. What? Let me break the reality to you. It's coming. Because you're getting the very best. I mean, they don't want to lose you. You are the answer to everything in their life. But when they finally say a year from now, I got you, it might change just a little. Now, I know some of y'all's marriages didn't. Anybody didn't change any? Well, maybe second service. But it does happen. It does happen. Sarah is married to a half-brother. He pones her off from time to time, telling her, don't tell them we're married. Tell them you're my sister. You ain't lying. It's not a lie. It's the truth. It's kind of, sort of. Sarah lives in this. Finally, by the time she's 75, she has insecurities. She realizes now that I'm starting to get too old to have children. This is where she goes to Abraham and tells him, hey, you need to find somebody. I've got a handmaid named Hagar, and why don't you sleep with her and have a child, and that'll be our child. I mean, it's not really like you're cheating on me, because she is my handmaid, so therefore it's a half-truth. He is our child because she's our servant. Do you understand how, do you see how this life is living? It's trust without total trust. It's believing without really having to totally believe. It's like saying, you know what? I trust in God. I go to church. I do all the stuff I do, but I don't have to totally trust God. I don't have to totally commit to God. I mean, it's only a half thing. It's a Sunday thing. It's even a Wednesday night every now and then I sneak in, but I don't have to get fanatical about this stuff. I just, it's the truth. I love God. I just may not love Him with all of my heart and all of my strength and all of my soul. But don't say I don't love Him. If I didn't love Him, I wouldn't be here. There's a lot more church people in the world that struggle with this than they even do with what they can see. Most good church people, they hear from the Bible enough, was raised in Sunday school, so they know something when it's right and when it's wrong. But where we struggle is when we can look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I really, truly trust God. That's a different question. Because it's so easy to tell ourselves when we compare ourselves to someone else that I do. I'm a good person. God's lucky to have me. Look, I could be like so-and-so. I could be like that, but look at me. I'm a lot better than a lot of people. A lot of people wouldn't even be in church this morning after staying up late as I did last night watching the ball games. God ought to be happy. I'm here. It's a trust, but it's a half-trust. Let me see if I can walk us through it from Abraham's vision. Abraham has to overcome this, and Sarah has to overcome it too. Miracles won't happen in half-trust. Miracles won't take place with half-truths. Let me see if I can walk you through. Abraham in chapter 14 deals with Melchizedek. God begins to set the stage for Abraham to learn to trust Him. Go with me to chapter 15, if you can pull this up. Chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2. Chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 14 is all about Lot being captured, Abraham saying, God, do I go? I need to save Lot. And he gets his men together. He goes and saves him. And here's the part where he has to learn to trust. It's custom that if Abraham won this battle, he was supposed to take the spoils of this battle. That was right. That was what he was supposed to do. But God is dealing with Abraham about trust. In fact, his name right now is not even Abraham. His name is Abram. And he's trying to learn and teach Abram how to trust, how to depend. And here's where it always begins. It always begins here. It begins in your pocketbook. Always begins in your pocketbook. One old preacher put it this way: if you want to know how much you trust, just check your checking account. See how much you give to every other thing other than God. If you give more money to your insurance policy than you do God, then what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? We don't like to look at it that way, but this is where Abram is. Abram has just won a battle. He's got all these foils. Go with me. Can you pull that up? Chapter 15, verse 1. Can I'll turn to it. Here we go. Abraham meets Melchizedek. The end of chapter 14, and here's what happens. He gives Melchizedek a tenth of everything that came back. He pays a tithe to Melchizedek. And then the king of Sodom says, Abraham, take whatever you want. It's yours. And Abraham says this, I will not take one thread. I will not take one shoelace. I do not want someone to come back later and say, we made Abraham rich. Now, yeah, that sounds cool, doesn't it? That sounds like, man, that's the way I want to be. I want to be able to look at somebody and say, I'm trusting God. And he said, other than my men getting what they earned in the fight, I don't want anything. And you would think at that time, Abraham would be like, see, God, you can trust me. But here's what God says. And after these things, the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, what? Fear not. What does God know about Abraham right now? Abraham's thinking, Lord, I just walked away from all that money. Maybe that was part of the vision God wanted. Maybe that was part of what. I know I did the right thing, but I'm going to tell you, it's hard to trust God. It's hard to trust God. Fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Abraham says, okay, God, I'm learning to trust, but here's the problem. I'm trusting, but I don't see anything. And I'm able to live with that. I can get past seeing it. But God, it's not getting any easier. The older I get, the harder it is to trust. The older and the further we go in this thing. You know, I thought maybe it would take 5 years. It's been 20 years. I thought it would just take a little bit of time. But I haven't seen anything yet, God. Anybody ever deal with that to where God doesn't move as fast or He doesn't move? And now it's not a matter of seeing anymore. It's a matter of trusting. It's a matter of to say, well, maybe God didn't get it right. Maybe God changed His mind. Maybe God didn't really want to do it that way. Sometimes we can get sick in body. And even though we read, you know what, God is a healer and God is a deliverer and by His stripes you were healed. Yet when you've been sick for a while, it's like, well, maybe God doesn't really want me well. Maybe God just wants me to go through this for a reason or for a purpose. And we start to back off. It's not a lie. God can still get glory from doctors and medicine. And those things are wonderful. But it doesn't mean that's what God really wanted. It just means that sometimes we're too easy to try to rearrange and take a half of something and a piece of something and decide that that's really what God wanted. God looks at Abraham and says, Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get me a bullock and I want you to cut him in half and I want you to get some turtle doves, and I want you to get a ram, and I want you to cut them in half. The turtle doves don't, just lay them. But I want you to cut the others in half, and I want you to put one on one side and one on the other. And this is what Abraham understood. This is a covenant. It's called passing through the blood. You would split it completely and then lay one half and one half, just enough room to walk in the puddle of blood between. And what was to be done at this time, this was a covenant that if we pass through the blood together, then we're in covenant together. God tells Abraham, you do it. And I love the next part where it says, and the birds and the fowl of the air came to try to pick on the dead carcasses. And the Bible says Abraham fought them off or shooed them away. Why? Because it would have been easy to say, God, I did what I can do. Now look, even the birds now are showing up trying to eat the stuff. But Abraham is learning to do what? Trust. If God told me to do it, I'm fighting for it. If God told me to do it, He'll show up. If God told me to do it, I'm not quitting. If God told, he's learning to do it. He's learning to trust. He's learning to walk away from riches and say, God, I trust you. You say you're my shield and you're my reward. I trust you. I'm learning to be in covenant with God. God, you say you're going to give me all these things. Then make a covenant with me. The Bible says that Abraham falls into a deep sleep and God passes through the blood and makes a covenant with him that he will be the father of many nations. Now, I'd like to tell you that as Abraham is getting this, guess who's not getting this? Sarah. Chapter 16 is the very next chapter. Starts off immediately where Sarah tells Abraham, look, I'm 75 years old. It's getting too long in the tooth. You need to sleep with Hagar. And Abraham listens to his wife. Abraham, who's learning to trust God, listens to his wife because his wife is struggling with trust. But she's got good reason. She can say, look, now, it's not that we're not going to have children. We're just going to have them this way. It's not that we're doing something totally wrong. It's just we're doing it halfway. One of the most miserable lives you'll ever live is to be in ministry halfway. To be committed halfway. To be in love with God halfway. There's people that do it every single Sunday, every single week. I'd like to look at you and say, man, this is just easy stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. Even in my life, growing through the process of 30 years of following God, can I tell you something? That's not an easy process. Learning to trust God, a God you cannot see, a God that sometimes doesn't speak to you, a God that sometimes seemingly disappears, but yet you have to trust Him. You have to listen to His Word and say, look, I don't know when, and I don't know where, and I don't know how, but God will show up. I don't know the way. I don't have it figured out, but I trust Him. Even when I can't see His hand, I trust His heart. That's how relationships in marriage are built stronger. That's how anything is done in your life. It has to have action attached to it. Trust has to have action attached. Hagar has a child. By chapter 17, God shows up again. This time, God is doing something totally different. God shows up and says, no longer is your name Abram, but Abraham. And that wife of yours, no longer is her name Sarah. I love this. Of all the things I could teach you today, this would be the one thing I wish you'd get. You know what the name Sarai means? It means contentious. I think that's so ironic. Her name means contentious. Can I tell you, when you live half-truths and half-trust, can I tell you what relationships will be in that situation? Contentious. It will be edgy. It will be rough. It will be awkward. It will be... doesn't matter if it's at work. Doesn't matter if it's in a home. It doesn't matter if it's with your children. Anytime we live in the way of Sarai, our relationships are contentious. Even though I say, I'm all in, somewhat. It's one of the hardest things I had to do with my kids. My oldest boy now, he's 18, he's off in college. And Elise will tell me, I'm always going to be mama. It's hard, ain't it, ladies? It's hard. It's hard to be able to say, no, I'll trust them. I'll trust them. It's hard in life to not be contentious. Because if you try to hold on to something that you're supposed to trust and you keep bothering it, it will become a contentious relationship. Your job will become contentious. Your relationship, your friendships. If you have friends that you don't truly trust, contentious. Well, I thought you were friends. Yeah, but there's certain things you just don't tell them. Well, how can they be your friends when you can't tell them stuff? Well, it's kind of an awkward situation. Chapter 18 now, we get back. And you can see where Sarah now has built her life around this contentious. But I love it when the three men show up, they don't call her Sarah anymore. They said, where is your wife, Sarah? Which means princess. Where is the princess? She's in the tent. I'm going to be back in 9 months, and when I come back, the princess will have her baby. When I come back, the princess will have her baby. Can I tell you something in here? By His stripes, you were healed. If you've got sickness in your body, you can be healed. Can I tell you something? He's called you to be the head and not the tail. Your life will go forward. It will produce great things. Now see, I can go on and on, but here's what happens as I'm saying these things. Somebody who's struggling with sickness is saying, yeah, right. Now, I didn't hear nobody laugh, did y'all? And when I told you, you can move forward. It may be a struggle. It may be a fight. You may have to go back to school. You may have to do it. But you know what? You can move forward. God's got good things in store for you. I didn't hear anybody laugh, but you know what? Yeah, right. And I wanted you to listen to something here. You don't have to stand up and laugh outwardly for God to hear you laugh. There's too many people every single Sunday hear sermons, hear messages. And when they hear them, it's like, yeah, right. Look, your marriage can be, yeah, right. Look, God can do, yeah, right. And God asks so many times, why are they laughing? Why are they laughing? If I say that I can do it, why are they laughing? Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything impossible for me? Abraham's not laughing. Abraham is trusting in God. But Sarah is learning. She's learning. Brother Lott, does Sarah ever get it? Yeah. Go with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 11 and verse 11. Sarah is contentious through most of the life. Here's what the book of Hebrews says about her. It doesn't talk about her early years. It doesn't talk about all the Hagar moments, and it doesn't talk about all of that. But when it gets to the end in Hebrews 11, the book of faith, the chapter of champions, here's what it says. Through faith, also Sarah herself received what? Brother Lott, what do I need? What is it necessary for me to be all in when I have the Sarah mentality? What does it take for me to be all in when I struggle with trust? When I have a heart, you don't know what I've been through, Brother Lot. You don't know the people who've hurt me. You don't know the things that's happened in my life. If you'd have been through what I've been through, you wouldn't want to go all in either. You'd want to keep something back because people can hurt you. Sarah would look at you and say, look, my husband pawned me off. Look, I've been drug away from my family when I was 65. I know what it's like to not be able to fully trust. But here's how it works. You got to have faith. And faith is an action word. Brother Lot, I'm scared. Good. Means it's real. Because the fear won't go away. You have to drive it out. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because she did what? She judged him faithful who had promised. Here's the answer. You can walk out these doors today and you can keep trying to depend on yourself, figure it out yourself, lean on yourself. And if you look at your track record, yourself ain't a very bright person. I'm sorry, I'm not either. If it makes you feel any better, I don't want to trust myself either. I don't have all the insight. I can't tell you where I'm going to be 5 years. I can't tell you what's going to happen to me physically or emotionally. I can make promises, but I can't back them up. I'd rather hook on with somebody who, when he makes a promise, he can't lie. When he makes a promise, he sees the end from the beginning. He already knows the future. He already told Abraham even the countries that they would have to fight. Can I tell you, when he promised Abraham, he even predicted 400 years of slavery in Pharaoh's court in Egypt and said, your people will be in bondage for 400 years, but don't worry, I'm going to come and deliver them, and I will bring them out and bring them back to this land. God is making promises 400 or 500 years later. How can He do that? Because He's a God that you can judge faithful. He's a God that you can look at and say, I trust Him. I trust Him. If you're in this place today, I can't take away your fear. I can't take away your anxiety. Nobody could take away mine. But I had to sit in a chair like you're sitting in one day, and I had to decide whether I could declare God faithful. Sarah had her child and became a woman of faith. Because she finally, not some magical moment, but she finally stood up and said, you know what? I trust God. What if you don't feel it? I trust God. What if it don't look right? I trust God. What about on good days? I trust God. What about bad days? I trust God. I can be 89 years old, and if God says I'm going to have a baby, I start to buy baby carriages. Because I trust God. I want to ask you a very serious question. And I know you can do like Sarah. You can say, oh yeah, halfway. But I'm asking you very seriously. Do you trust God? If you do, your actions will align with your words. This is harder than just seeing a problem. When I can see it, I know it's bad, I can step away. But when it's something I have to just believe and I'm not sure, and Brother Lodge, you want me to start paying my tithes? Yeah. I want you to show up next week and I want you to Go ahead and figure what 10% of your income is each week, and I want you to start paying tithes. Why? Because you trust God. You just said you did. I want you to show up faithfully to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. You may have to rearrange your schedule. You mean you want me to? I want you to trust God. I want you to put God before everything else in your life. You just told me you trusted Him. Do we? Stand with me. The story of Sarah has a happy ending because she learned to trust. I can preach sermons to you every week. I can do illustrations. I can do all of it. And I can entertain you for the next 20 years. But I cannot move your spiritual life forward unless you trust God. Your life with God can only go forward in the level that you trust Him. I'm a third generation preacher's kid. My grandfathers on both sides were ministers. My dad was a minister. My uncle was a minister. I'm a minister. If it was a matter of pedigree, I would have it nailed down. But can I tell you what God had to do with me? Same thing He has to do with everybody else. He has to say, Tim, you can't live off your grandfather's trust. You can't live off your dad's trust. If me and you are going to walk together, you have to trust me. I've said this a million times, and I'm through. When I die one day, unless God returns, that'd be even better. If He wants to come now, just come on. If I die one day, all I want on my tombstone is simply this. Here lies a man who walked with God. That don't sound like a lot. But I'm going to tell you, it's taken me a lifetime to learn to live what those words say. Not to get in front of Him. Not to walk a mile behind Him. But just learn to get up each day and walk with God. For some of you, your greatest growth is right there. It's just learning to walk, to trust. With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Just trust Him. Your life will explode if you can do that. Will you pray? Father, God, I feel what David said many years ago when he said, search me, Lord, and see if there be anything in me. Father, I feel like that's what You're doing right now. So many of us, we say instantaneously, of course I trust the Lord. Of course I love the Lord. Of course I'm... God, would You search us? Would You see if it's with all our heart? Would You see if it's more like Sarah? Yeah, I laughed, but I didn't laugh. I did, but I didn't. God, teach us to grow like her. To reach a point in our life where we can say, I trust Him. I have judged Him faithful. Over everything in this world, I have judged Him faithful. Thank You, Father, for the examples You've given us, like Sarah, to follow. Amen. Are y'all in? Are y'all in? I hope so. Hey, go give the devil fits.